Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to What She Said, an episode of the LA FPI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights. And today I'm going to be speaking with Louisa Hill, whose Riot Girl Saves the World is currently playing at Theater Asylum as part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival. And Louisa received her MFA from the University of Iowa's Playwrights Workshop, where she was the Iowa Arts Fellow. Her thesis play, The Lord of the Underworld's Home for Unwed Mothers, received the Mark Twain Award for Comic Playwriting from the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival and has been produced at the Kitchen Theater and Muscatine Community College. Her play, Annette Kellerman Forever, was selected for the Blueprint Series at the Brimmer Street Theater Company, and she's a resident playwright at the Skylight Theater, where she's developing a new play in their play lab. So welcome, Louisa.
Thank you so much, Allison. It's great to talk with you and be here.
Absolutely. Well, I really wasn't going to start out with this question until I saw that your show yesterday. And when I was waiting in line to get in, I heard a group of younger women asking a woman who was a little bit older what Riot Girl was. So I really kind of thought everyone would know what it was, otherwise they wouldn't go to the show. So in the spirit of giving listeners a frame of reference for the world of your play, I really wondered if you would give your sort of description of what Riot Girl was and how it was designed to save the world.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So my description of Riot Girl is that it's the third wave of feminism. It's punk rock feminism. From the early 90s to the mid-90s is a way of community building and organizing and making music and making art and just really forming a collective that sought to stand up to crappy things in this world and find a new way to deal with them, and you know, have fun. but I have to say that I honestly didn't know about the movement until a couple years ago. I'm late to the game as well, and so luckily I had a great time researching this, and just like I'm nostalgic for the punk band that I was never in.
Well, yeah, these women were pretty funny. It was like the other woman was kind of in the show. She was really like the star of the line waiting to get in because she had experience.
Anyway,
it really was. It was funny. Your play revolves around three friends who are pretty disenfranchised, mm-hmm. for one reason or another. Everybody has their own reasons, from the traditional male-dominated culture around them, and they decide to start a zine. And it seems like the framework of the play is this sort of zine where they're talking sometimes directly to the audience. But then they're joined by a perhaps even more disenfranchised person, a character who's mm-hmm. a Jehovah's Witness, who is attracted to the empowering message of Riot Girl. So I wondered if this was derived from some sort of personal experience, because it felt very personal, the story.
No, that's interesting that you picked up on that. I wasn't raised as a Jehovah's Witness, but I was raised in a conservative Christian environment, and I wish that I had had Riot Girl in my life at the time. I grew up in like this very religious town, and I went to church school, and so you know, just it's really hard being like the a burgeoning feminist in like a really conservative environment because you know everybody just thinks that you're crazy. And then actually my best friend from college, she was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, and so that, you know, she was the first Jehovah's Witness that I met, and I was like, oh, but you're so cool, you know, and so, you know, I could connect to her conflict of, you know, being a liberal woman, but also, you know, having these ingrained religious values, you know, it's hard to reconcile sometimes.
Absolutely. Well, your characters are eventually tested by the media. And I never like to tell the exact plot because I want people to go and see mm-hmm. the show. But the notion of being seen by a water audience. So Riot Girl was famous in real life for not granting interviews to the press. They didn't want their mm-hmm. message misinterpreted or co-opted. So do you feel like more modern-day movements might be similarly tested or maybe have been in recent memory, either theatrical or feminist?
And so you're asking whether the media can distort current day movements.
Yeah, or maybe even that, have in your experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's also interesting, too, just because, I mean, I think with anything, you know, like just in this, you know, immediate sort of internet culture that we have, like somebody saying something, you know, immediately immediately can go viral. And so I think
right.
that, you know, things can be misinterpreted.
Well, I wonder, I mean, I suppose the Fringe Festival could be one way that that could happen. How has the reaction been to your show?
I'd say it's been pretty good. Yeah, some of the notes that I've seen, you know, just on the Fringe page have said like, oh, it should be longer, which, you know, it's a good thing to hear.
Okay.
And it was actually, this was originally like an hour and 40 minutes. So sometimes it's hard to hear that and it's like, oh, no, I agree. Like, you know. Wait, just read the full version. But I try not to be a defensive playwright. But in general, it seems like people are connecting to it, and even people who didn't think that they would connect to it. So I always am excited by that. You know, people who aren't necessarily who don't necessarily identify as feminists, or who, you know, might be skeptical about, like, oh, a play about teen girls, that's not for me. It's so heartening that, you know, when they let me know that they really connected to it, or like it's one of my coworkers today, he saw it yesterday and he was like, I just want to be a Riot Girl.
Yeah, people were laughing.
Riot
Girl was also designed to be a revolution about bringing girls to the front. That was one of the things they used to say all the time. Girls in the front, and they meant girls in the front of the audience so that they wouldn't be hurt and that they wouldn't hang out back and that they would be an important part of the show. So do you feel, as the playwright, that it eventually did save the world? I wondered that by the end of the play.
Yeah, I mean, this idea of saving the world, like the way that I sort of see it in the context of this play is I think it can be interpreted in a lot of different ways. Like, I know that the movement, it wasn't perfect at all, you know, like, and I've heard, you know, sort of retrospective things about, you know, former Riot Girl band members who, you know, sort of are able to look back on their experiences and say, like, okay, maybe we didn't thing. I know Kathleen Hanna was like, she has this one song where she, like, compares domestic violence to racism, and she's like, okay, well, they're not exactly the same thing, but so, you know, just having that extra perspective. But yeah, I mean, I think it saved the, I don't know, I mean, I think anytime you have ideas that, you know, make people feel good about themselves and make them feel empowered and inspire them to be better people, you know, I think that's a microcosm of saving the world, and it's, you know, saving individual lives. So I'll go ahead and I'll say that in one way or another, I think it did.
It seems like it does continue to ripple out. I mean, even you've probably seen The Punk Singer, the movie made about Kathleen Hanna recently.
Yeah.
It seems like it's a movement, even though it's technically done with, it's rippling out in other ways.
Yeah, I know. It's just amazing how relevant it still is. You know, you read the zines and it's just like, you know, it feels so contemporary in sometimes a frustrating way. It's like, why are we still dealing with these identical issues 20 years later?
Absolutely. Well, that's what we do. That's what the FBI does. So it's really right up our alley. But anyway, to finish up, I just always like to ask people what they're working on next. I know that you have another couple of performances of this. Maybe you'll extend, or maybe there's something else you're working on.
Yeah, so actually I'm developing a play with the Skylight Theater Company, where I'm a playwright. So I'm working on that right now. It's set at a women's college in 1890. It's five characters, five women at the school. And it's sort of a meta-theatrical play, so they're putting on a play about their experiences, and it's something that I the history of women's colleges is really interesting to me, especially how they were often like very subversive territories. Like there was a lot of cross-dressing that happened, and so in this, like, you know, in the context of, you know, these Victorian mores, these were like little pockets where women were doing all sorts of radical things. And so that's the subject of this next play.
Fascinating. Very, very interesting. And when can we expect that?
There's going to be a reading, a staged reading, sometime in the late summer, but we don't have the dates yet.
Oh, great. Okay, cool. So everyone should pay attention for that. But in the meantime, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today and break a leg.
Oh, thank you so much, Allison. I really appreciate it.
Riot Girl Saves the World runs for two more performances at Theater Asylum in Hollywood on June 26th at 8:30 p.m. and June 28th at 5:30 p.m. It's directed by Scott Martin and features Poonam Basu, Maggie Blake, Zoe Lillian, Tiffany Moe, and Emma Servant. For more information about tickets, please visit www.hff14.org/1724 and click on the Tickets tab. For more information about LAFPI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafbi.com.